Hello and welcome to this episode of the ESG Fitness Podcast. I have Maureen with me. How are you?
I am okay. I'm a small bit ill, but could be worse.
Yeah, what's wrong?
I don't know, I just have like a bit of a chesty cough sort of thing going on.
That's
There's a
not
bit of
good.
a dose going around everywhere, so I have a small bit of that. Hopefully it doesn't get any worse, but
Let's hope so. I would like to start the podcast with a message that one of my one-to-one sent me because, well, you'll see why, right? Okay. She says, separately, listen to one of your recent podcasts where you were delighted to discover the word verbose. Here are some words I learned this week sitting in a room full of 40 of the best corporate lawyers in the world. Effusive, which means unstrained pleasure or gratitude. Sorry, unrestrained pleasure or gratitude. Effusive. Adept, very skilled or proficient. Now, interestingly, I actually thought adept meant the opposite of that. Like,
I've never heard that word.
adept, as in, like, she can't do anything. Yeah, well, there I am, wrong. Nuanced, I mean, yeah, we knew that one. Erroneous, many errors. That was an erroneous assumption. Oh, I like
I do that.
that. Oh, Maureen and her erroneous assumptions. And then she says her favorite new phrase is deliciously engaging.
Oh,
Yeah, I like those. Very good, aren't
yeah, nice. I'll probably forget them, but
they? Yeah, same.
true.
Anyway, now they will live forevermore on the podcast. And if you do have a favorite word, please do send it in. Right, should we get on with the questions?
Yeah. Oh, my screen just went blank. Okay. I have protein powder in the house, about to order some protein bars for those sweet tooth moments, but wondering if there's any more hacks I can be reminded of.
Hacks for what?
For increasing protein intake.
I mean, the biggest one is just have a bigger portion size. Because I think it does get a bit tedious to try and find new sources of protein all the time. It's like, well, if you want to increase your protein, you're not getting enough, have a little bit of extra chicken. Have another dollop of high protein yogurt or whatever you're having. That's quite a good way to do it, and it's pretty simple.
Yeah, I agree. Like I don't think it's useful to be just looking for hacks. I think get really good with just doing the basic stuff like that, increasing your portion sizes, rather than relying on hacks to get your protein in.
Life hack, stop looking for hacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And this is like a second part of the question. If my target is 100 grams, is reaching 80 still optimal on some days? If so, why? If not, why not?
I mean, it's not optimal, but it's fine. It won't make a huge difference, right? So, like, everything is kind of not everything, but protein definitely abides by the law of diminishing return. So, like, if you're getting no protein in, then getting 20 grams of protein is going to have a huge benefit. If you're getting 100 grams of protein in, then having 120 grams of protein is going to have minimal benefit. It's the same 20 grams of protein, right? So, 80 grams, you've probably got the vast majority of the benefit of 100 grams of protein, but it'd still be better to get 100 grams. Yeah.
Yeah, I've nothing else to add. Okay, this is a long one now. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is to workouts and programming. I've not followed a program in the gym for 18 months or so. I usually work my way around the machines with a few free weights and a couple of times a week. My goal is now to do three sessions a week. I was back in the gym this week and didn't plan my workouts as per the plan I've been set, as I ran out of time and found myself in a busy gym looking at apps full of options. So one day I put together on the spot a plan for the session based on what equipment was available, ensuring I covered all the muscle groups as best I could. As my target is three set gym sessions a week, when I reached out to my coach, Maureen suggested continuing with two more full body workouts last week. So I used two from the app to complete this week. Okay, question. If I find myself in a similar position again and I need to come up with my own program due to the lack of space or something else, what's the optimal way to ensure I am hitting all the muscle groups?
Honestly, the optimal way is to follow the program the way it's programmed. But again, like something is better than nothing. If you get into a gym and you're like, oh, the machine I was going to use is broken, or that part of the gym is sectioned off, or it's shutting in 15 minutes, just do something. Like, it's always better than nothing. But I would go in, like, my intent for you would be do the program we've set out. That's going to get you the best results. But if on occasion you can't, don't stress about it. There's no need to kind of like, yeah, try and make it optimal. Do something. Like, I've not trained properly since I've been here. I've just done some body weight stuff, been doing a bit more hiking. Like, it's definitely not optimal, but I know I'll get back to that. Now, if, I don't know, once or twice a month you find yourself in a hotel gym and you can't do the full workout, do something similar. Normally you can find, I mean, there's swaps on the app, but normally you can do something pretty similar to what's been programmed.
Yeah, like I think it's handy to understand the direction of the movements. That if you know, okay, you want to find a movement that's like vertical push or a horizontal push, like a same for like a vertical pull and a horizontal pull. Like if you have an understanding of having like one of those movements in your program or in that workout, then you can think, okay, pressing a dumbbell over my head, that's going to count as a vertical push. Then you can kind of just pick a few exercises that you have the availability to do at that given time. But again, don't need to be overthinking it. Doing something is going to be better than nothing.
Yeah, it you can normally do most things with a dumbbell, right? So if there's dumbbells, it's like, yeah, there's no chest press machine, but you can do dumbbell chest press. There's no pec deck, but you can do flies. There's no leg press, but you could do a squat variation with a dumbbell. Like, it's still working the same muscle groups. I think people massively overcomplicate this, as in, like, your muscle doesn't really know if you're doing the leg press or a dumbbell squat. It just feels a stimulation on it, a stress on it that it's going to respond to, so that next time a similar stress is applied on it, it can adapt better to that, or it can respond better to that. That is literally how exercise works. So I think people really overthink it, and I guess like worry that they're doing something wrong, when like, you're certainly not. You can do it a million different ways. If you don't have anything, you're like, right, okay, well, what could I do to replicate a bench press? A press up isn't far off, right? It's going to work very similar muscle groups.
Yeah. Okay, second part of the question. Why is following a program more optimal in the gym than mixing it up with what you fancy on the day?
Many reasons, partly progressive overload, partly the skill of doing different exercises and being able to see your own progress, but also kind of what we were touching on, or like what your initial question was about. So you obviously know a little bit that this is important, but evenly working muscle groups over the week. Like, if you're not following a program and you just walk in every day and think, I kind of fancy doing lat pull down today, then you're probably not going to have an even split of volume per muscle group over the week. So it's definitely better to follow something. It also just gives you a bit of like structure. You're probably more likely to work harder when you know what you're doing before you go in and have a bit of a plan for it. But saying that, now and again, especially if I don't know, I'm like not very motivated, I will just be like, just get to the gym and do something. And sometimes those sessions are fun. Like, I wouldn't have them in all the time, but if like once a week or a couple of times a month, you're like, I'm just gonna go in and just do something that I fancy, fine. Again, you're doing something. I think people have this, yeah, like it just, again, it comes back to like all or nothing mentality of, oh, well, if I can't do it exactly perfectly right, there's no point doing it at all. You'll get great results. Like, you would still get results just going into the gym and doing almost anything to a point. Like, if you're a beginner, you can literally go into the gym and just kind of randomly pick exercises. I'll do one for my lower body, one for my upper body, one push, one pull. Okay, that will kind of do. You'll get results doing that. They won't be optimal results, but like, you'll get results doing that. Then there'll come a point where you probably need to get a bit smarter with your training in order to keep progressing.
Yeah, like doing something is always going to be better than nothing, but I think you have to manage your expectations. Like if you're thinking, oh, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to get really strong on the squat, but like you go in and you only squat once in the week and then you're like, oh, I can't be arsed doing that now. I'm going to do like an RDL today. Like you're not going to get good at anything if you just keep chopping and changing. So sticking to the program, having a structure, doing the same things over and over again, that's how you progress. again, it's back to just doing the basics.
The basics are the basics because they work.
Absolutely. Okay. I have consistently been doing my 5 times a week at home EC method strength workouts every week, and I'm loving them. But then at the weekends, I have been running on Saturdays and Sundays, anywhere from 5 to 10 kilometers. I don't feel tired, and I'm really enjoying the freedom of it. It's my escape from the house and a busy life with 3 small children. I can't run during the week, so I like to run at the weekend. My question is, it too much? As I know, I am not having a rest day, but I feel great and it's really good for my mental health to be getting out. I wouldn't do it if I felt tired, but currently it feels great. Thank you.
If you this we get this question quite a lot. I'm doing XYZ, is this too much? Or like, should I be doing? And if you genuinely feel good, you're fine. Like, there are people that train twice as much as that. Now, I wouldn't recommend that, and they're like elite level athletes, but the reason that they can is because they're very fit, right? Overtraining for someone might be doing 4 sessions a week. Overtraining for someone else might be doing, I don't know, 12 sessions a week. Depends on your fitness level and what you can recover from. It sounds to me like you're recovering quite well from this. But if you came to us and you were like, I'm really struggling with fatigue, or my performance is going downhill, or I'm just or sore all the time, then we'd be like, right, okay, let's have a look at your training load. What can we swap here? What can we adapt to make sure that you are recovering? But I don't see a problem with that. I think it sounds like you're recovering very well.
Yeah, all I'd add is like just tune into your own body and kind of listen to the signals, or know the signals. Like if something feels off, then don't push through it, to kind of listen to that.
Yeah, listen to your heart.
Listen to your heart. Remember
When
that
he's
song?
calling for you.
Oh, what a
What
tune.
a great song.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
Okay.
welcome for that.
Thanks. That's
Oh.
good. I'm gonna have to put that on after. Who sang it?
I've got a feeling it was like DHT or something, but I don't know what that.
Do, 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 do. I don't know where you're going, but I don't know where.
Listen to your heart.
I know.
Yeah, I found, oh my God, it is DHT. What are the chances? That's literally never happened.
Gold star.
Do you remember that this used to always be, oh my God, yeah, here, 100% Clubland. That's what I was thinking, the remix.
Ah,
Right,
excellent.
are you ready? Or will it get taken off Spotify if I... Look,
No.
DHT, we're promoting. Here you go.
I
Yeah.
can't hear it. I can't hear
Why
it.
can't you hear it?
I don't know.
Okay, right. Well, sorry, everyone. Go and download it.
Okay, the next question. Just my one. Oh, from last week. Sorry. There was a question from last week, but Emily has posted last week's podcast because we answered it last week.
Oh, great.
So we don't need to do it again. Okay. Hi, beautiful coaches. Hello. It feels so lovely to be back. Firstly, I just want to let you and other members or potential members know how much Commit to Six has changed, evolved since I was here 2 years ago. And the changes are definitely improvements. I love, love, loved it before. I'd actually met some friends for life, but it's now even slicker and immersive than before. Amazing job, M. And
But can
most
I just
importantly,
say, you've no idea what that means to me because there have been progressions and both regressions, and like a lot of like so much hard work goes in behind the scenes, and like a lot of stress and messing things up and then redoing things and trying to make it as streamlined and smooth as possible and to please everyone. And like, yeah, so that genuinely that means the world. Thank you.
oh, amazing. Okay, actual question. I rejoined because I'm now going through IVF and I know that my body doesn't currently have the same training capacity as it did would like. My nutrition is now more important than ever, and I trust you guys more than anyone to keep me on track within my current circumstances allows. Is there any way of getting the most out of the workouts while being quote unquote gentle with my body, e.g., keeping the weight super low, or should I just be focusing on more walks and perhaps something gentle like yoga? I've been told that whilst exercise is obviously super important for health, not to be remotely stressing my body at this point, and so, quote unquote, perhaps avoid the gym. Please help. Thank you. aspects?
Yeah, so this is quite hard, mainly because for a lot of people, exercise reduces stress. Like the primary overarching thing for fertility, going through IVF or otherwise, is people are like, reduce your levels of stress, which is such a hard thing to actually action. And really, nothing makes you more stressed than being told that you need to reduce, like, do you know what? Just like stop being angry or like just stop being stressed. Have you ever thought of that? So you kind of, to an extent, have to play your own narrative on this. So when I've worked with people who have, or women who are going through IVF, some I'll keep exercising, but a way lower intensity, and others stop exercising. And it's more a discussion with them of what's going to make you feel calmer, more yourself, less stressed. And stress is a big role, because I've also worked with specifically one woman who went through years of IVF and then was just like, do you know what? I'm kind of like giving up on it. I'm just going to accept that's not going to happen. They were looking into adoption and then she got pregnant. And it's like, yeah, because you took the pressure off, you took the stress off, probably a lot calmer. She was even exercising more at that point. Now, that is definitely correlation, not causation. So I'm not saying exercise more because this happened to this person, but it is an interesting observation. So I think I definitely wouldn't be doing things like HIIT training or pushing yourself to failure when you do resistance training. But if you're like, I've been resistance training for years, it's part of my life, I enjoy it, and I'll still do some at maybe like a kind of 7 out of 10 max, as opposed to your usual 10 out of 10. And then absolutely with the yoga, that would definitely help reducing stress. I would change that around egg collection. I wouldn't be doing any exercise really, or just kind of like very low intensity type stuff. And then when it comes to things like, actually, let me get, because I did a, okay, right, yeah. I did a little deep dive on this not that long ago. And hey, my notes, the notes on my phone are very good. I now have 12,827 notes.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so I just, and this is what's so good about them. Like, I will forget everything. I just searched fertility and this came up, diet, exercise, and fertility. Been doing some research for clients. I thought I would share for anyone who might find this useful. Caveat, it is very hard to give general advice because so much of this is context dependent and obviously speak to a doctor. So, bullet points on exercise. It's quite complex and obviously individual, but broadly, too much exercise is certainly bad for fertility, but some exercise is good, especially if you're overweight or obese or you have PCOS, where exercise acts via similar mechanisms to fertility treatments and results in improved ovulation. You need to be a bit more careful with IVF. So, women who reported exercising 4 hours or more per week for 1 to 9 years were 40% less likely to have a live birth via IVF. Not the best stats. But yeah, generally avoid the more strenuous side of things. And then diet, like there isn't like an optimal diet for fertility, as much as some people probably try and sell you that. There is some research that that consuming more like pescatarian sources of protein, especially soy, has been beneficial. Again, this is all like quite observational research. General health things like low trans fats, high monounsaturated fats, high fiber with a focus on low GI carbohydrates, inclusion of high fat dairy, lots of veg that includes iron, and then supplements have actually quite weak evidence. But some that might have a little bit of evidence of vitamin D, vitamin E, vitamin C, omega-3, Co, enzyme 10, and folate for sure has evidence behind it. And then like other factors. So being in a healthy BMI range improves fertility, stress, try not to be too stressed, don't smoke, limit alcohol, and I would reduce caffeine as well.
Yeah,
That's
I don't really have anything to add other than like managing your life stress in general, like being able to kind of regulate yourself is going to be really important. Because if you're majorly stressed from general life and then you go try and add another things on, it's just going to compound to be to have like negative impacts.
And that's where actually doing something like the do, delegate, defer, delete list would be quite a good idea of just being like, right, what is, what's on my plate at the moment? What's stressing me out? What can I just defer right now? Like say you were going through IVF and you're like, I'm also thinking of starting a new university degree. You might be like, do you know what? Let's do this round of IVF and then add that secondary stress on. Because if it doesn't need to start now, let's say it's an online course or something, I don't know. That might be a good thing to defer. And then there might be other things that you're just like, I don't know, I was thinking about that, but I don't need it in my life at the moment. It's not that important to me. I'm just going to delete that for now. Or there might be something else that you're like, I can delegate that to somebody else. It's not really my responsibility. I've just been taking it all on. That's quite a good kind of like life audit thing. And then you can be like, right, and now I need to focus on the things that are going to help my fertility. And that's these things.
Agree. Okay. How do you move away from thinking about the end goal? I've dieted all my life, and when it's hard to move away from the quote, when I get to X amount of weight, then I'll be finished dieting rather than properly cement the belief that this is a long-term change. It's a good
Oh,
question.
great question. You start on
Yeah. It's hard. Like, I'm not going to say it's easy. I think it is hard, especially if you've been kind of going around in circles for many years chasing this specific end goal. But something to understand is that, what are you trying to get out of the end goal? Like, what would it actually mean to you to reach that goal? Like, what is it that you're looking for? Because sometimes, and more often than not, you can actually be left disappointed or the thought of achieving the goal is actually greater than what the feeling that you get when you get there. It's kind of like anticlimactic. It's kind of like, oh, thought it was going to be different. I thought I was going to feel different when I reached this goal. So I would kind of challenge like what it is that you're actually seeking from reaching the goal. Like, are you placing a sense of self-worth, or you're only good enough if you achieve X, or what is the driving force behind wanting to actually achieve the goal? I think that's something that you need to kind of bring to your consciousness and understand, okay, well, what's actually driving me to want to reach this goal? Is that something that I can achieve without reaching this goal? Can I get that sense of fulfillment somewhere else? But I definitely think it's worth exploring. And it's not just a simple answer. It's going to be different for different people, but I definitely think it's something to definitely try and unravel and understand, like, what is actually driving the behaviors or the feelings behind wanting to be so rigid about, oh, well, I have to reach this or nothing else is good enough, and being completely like blinkers on focused on reaching such a specific goal. Like, what meaning are you holding to it?
Yeah, and then sorry to blow everyone's trumpet, but you'll just have to continue doing exactly the same things once you get there. Like a few things might change. You will bring your calories up slightly. For most people, that's literally it. Like it's not like you're going to get there and then be like, oh, right, now I don't have to exercise. Now I don't have to eat healthy. Now I don't have to go out for walks. It's like nothing is really going to change when you get there. Then I think and sometimes that can be demotivating, but sometimes I'm like, you need to just reframe the way you're thinking about diet and exercise. Like, you get to do this stuff because you want to feel your best. Now, if you want to continue to feel your best and be healthy and show up well for your family and not be as stressed and take care of your body and live a long, healthy life, you're still going to have to do those things. Like, there isn't an end point. And realistically, whenever you get to that goal, you'll probably just set another one. And sometimes people can see that as negative of like, you're always going to be moving the goalpost. I don't life is like, to me anyway, and I know that I'm wired in a certain way, but if I don't have any goal, like, what are you doing? Why are you getting up? Like purpose is so important. Whether that's, and I'd hope that someone's whole goal isn't just to lose body fat, but like, that might be part of it. And they're also, I don't know, trying to get a promotion or trying to get their first pull up or trying to, I don't know, like learn a different language, whatever it might be, you should always be like in some way working towards something. It's never really going to be an endpoint. And like I really like the analogy. It's so cheesy, but that life is like a road trip. And I think sometimes, like, this is a bit of a push, but like sometimes your fat loss journey or your fitness journey is a bit like a road trip. Like you're like waiting to get to the end, and then it's like, oh, now this is like the end. Okay, you were meant to enjoy the journey, not like rush your way to the end, right? And if you do do that with fat loss, I guess it is quite a good analogy, because if you do do that with fat loss, you end up just like driving past all the fun shit, right? Like you're driving past like going out for meals with your friends or going traveling because you're worried about putting on weight or having to be in a bikini or being uncomfortable. Like instead of being like, do you know what? Time's going to pass anyway. I'm going to do, I don't know why thumbs up happens.
I
Sometimes it's,
was just about to say, what is that?
yeah, it's like a new Zoom feature. Sometimes it comes up, but yeah, life is going to happen anyway. Like you may as well be enjoying it while you lose fat. I'd say that's one of the fundamental clicking points for people who lose the fat and keep it off, is they're not putting their life on hold to speed up the fat loss process. They're like, cool, I'm going to do these behaviors while I live an incredible life and enjoy it, and I'll lose fat as the time passes anyway.
Yeah, an element of impatience definitely comes in there, of like, I want this now. And that, you know, if you are feeling very uncomfortable within yourself, like, it's totally understandable, but it's not going to change it. Being impatient isn't going to change it. And it's like, if you are waiting to, because she said here, like, in quote, when I get X amount of weight, then I'll be finished dieting. It's like, you're not going to be finished dieting. You know, we all have a diet. It's not that you have to be in a diet or on it, like on a restrictive diet all the time, but you still have to do the same things. It's like, what do you think you're going to do when you get there? Like, what are you actually going to change? Like, what are you stopping doing now that you think you will do when you
That's
reach
such a good
that?
question. What are you waiting for
Yeah.
when you get there? Like, what is it that you're putting on pause now? And it's, for some people, it is like wearing a certain dress that I like, or going on holiday, or there is something that can be quite tangible. But for a lot of the time, you realize like, well, nothing really, or nothing that I actually can't do now. And then you kind of call yourself out on it. And you're like, well, we'll start living your life and enjoying your life now. And the thing with impatience is, you're impatient because you're putting your life on hold to an extent, like, or there's something that you're not doing because you think you're waiting for something. Like, I can't remember the last time I was like impatient because I just do other stuff, even on like a micro level. Like, oh, the train's delayed. I'm not bored anymore. I'll just do some work, or I'll listen to a podcast, or I'll get my steps in, or I'll do like find a way to do something else. Like, don't just, I used this analogy the other day, but like, don't just like put the kettle on and watch it. Put the kettle on and go into another room, do whatever you're going to do, come back and make the cup of tea. Like, don't just paint the wall and just stare at like watching it dry. Like, it dries while you're off doing other stuff. You lose fat while you're off living your life, not staring at the scale weight, because that's like mind-numbingly boring. And that's what puts people off. Like, I'm bored of this now. Well, you shouldn't be bored of it. You should be like, one, grow up. We're all impatient, right? Like, sorry, but everybody wants results quickly. Everyone feels impatient. It's just that not everybody acts on it. And that's the key difference. Like, if you want to get results, you will have to be able to sit to an extent with impatience. And my advice would be, rather than just sit with it, be like, cool, I'm going to go do something else while I'm waiting for that kettle to boil.
Agree. Okay. Thoughts on tailoring workouts depending on what stage a woman is at during her monthly cycle. Seeing a lot of infographics on social media about this and wonder if it's useful.
No, it's not. And there's no
Yeah.
evidence to support it either. And that comes from like the top researchers and like reviews on the whole body of literature. So they're normally just trying to sell you something. That's why they're saying that. I don't know if you saw this, but I shared it on AFM today, and it was like, someone is now, oh God, what did it say? It was like, at certain points of your cycle, like you can't do certain things.
Preparing content, was it recording content or something like that?
Yeah, it was like, duh, 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 duh. Yeah. So for the first week, you can plan your month best, and then you can start to agree to bigger projects the week afterwards. And then the week afterwards, you can record social media. And then the week after that, you can write your sales copy. And I'm like, it, like, imagine the stress of actually trying to organize your life, not just around like, and I think this with training as well. Like, most of our clients are like busy moms, potentially perimenopausal, successful, have careers, you know, are trying to take their kids to 50 different places. Oh, now you also have to consider the stage of your cycle, which training program you should be doing. But like, it's so overcomplicated for literally no benefit whatsoever. And I think it becomes self-fulfilling if you're like, oh, even in the context of that, like, oh, this week I'm not going to be creative. Well, tell yourself that and good luck being creative. Or like, this week I'm not going to be strong in the gym. Yeah, watch your strength go down when you tell yourself you're not going to be strong. It's stupid and massively overcomplicating.
Yeah, like it comes back to again listening to your own body. It's like if you didn't have those external influences of social media and that, like what would you be doing? You'd have to just listen to how, oh, how do I feel today? Feel great. I can go to the gym. Like feel shit. Okay, maybe don't go. Like.
And it is, it's person like some women will have to adapt their training around their cycle because they have such bad PMS, or because maybe they bleed really heavily and they're like, I don't want to go to the gym for those days. That's absolutely fine. But it's not like a generic thing that everyone should follow. And then on top of that, you think everyone's cycle length is slightly different. Even those like scientific graphs of this is what your estrogen's doing and this is what your progesterone's doing, that is a very basic average thing that we think might be happening in most women on average. That's not what's happening in your body. Like, everyone's different. Even every cycle is slightly different. The length of cycle changes. And if you're on hormonal contraception, like, completely other thing. And if you're perimenopausal, again, completely other thing. Like, yeah, it's very silly.
That's the end of the questions.
Oh, great. Okay, I have some for you. You ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Gosh, bringing back all the classics.
Yeah. Okay, wait, I've got to get them up now. I'll just sing in the interlude. Oh, do you know one thing that has been coming up a lot in my question boxes is about ultra processed foods? I don't know who's been talking about them so much, but apparently someone must have been, because I've got so many questions of people being like, is it true that vegan protein is ultra processed, or like, you know, like meat alternatives ultra processed and they're really bad for you? Or is it true that yogurt, flavored yogurt's ultra processed and it's really bad for you? Now, it's true that those things are ultra processed, but the poison's in the dose. And actually, it comes back to, like, we've been speaking about this for years, but demonizing one food. Is a Mars bar good or bad? Like, it is irrelevant if you have one Mars bar in the context of your whole diet. What we should be looking at is, what does your whole diet look like? Not, oh my God, is it the corn chicken nuggets that have, like, I don't know, ruined my health or something? Like, it really doesn't matter. Would I limit ultra processed foods, as in if there were two options and you could go for something that's a whole food or something that's ultra processed? I would always sway you towards whole foods. But will it make a difference if you pick a couple and have them in your diet? No, not at all. Like, I have whey protein. It's definitely ultra processed.
Do you know where it's probably coming from?
Wow.
There's a new series on Netflix. It's like number two in the
Oh, God.
top 10. It's called You Are What You Eat, and there's a certain scientist in it.
Inspector.
Yeah. So the whole thing is they have identical twins, and they put them one of them on like a vegan diet and the other one on an omnivore diet. And I think they compare things. Now, I went to watch it so that I could just see what was in it. I did fall asleep, so I haven't gone back to
Oh, sorry.
it.
Very upset. I'm very upset.
Yeah, very unprofesh. So, yeah, that's probably where they're all coming from.
It is interesting. Like, even the comparison of that is quite silly, really. Because a lot of the time, like, you do see better health outcomes in vegans, but it's because they eat more fruit and veg. It's because they're more health conscious. It's because they actually think about what they're putting in their body. And it's probably because they reduce things like red meat as well, or like ultra processed meat and ultra processed foods. They're less likely to eat those things in higher quantities. Although maybe more so now with like all the vegan alternatives. Like a lot of the vegans I know are like smashing the fake chicken or like Linda McCartney sausages and stuff. That's yeah. But yeah, I th it, again, it's correlation, not causation. I don't think you can say that. And it's too broad as well. It's like the vegan diet. Okay, well, within that, what's happening? What are you getting more of? What are you getting less of? Yeah. Anyway, I guess we should watch that for research purposes.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. Which exercise should I do to lift saggy breasts?
What was that one? There used to be before people used to say, I must improve my bust. Have you never heard that? No.
No, what was that for? Bench press.
My friend's mother used to say that if you had saggy boobs, she was like, you know, she was doing this like a horizontal press movement, and she'd be saying, I must improve my bust.
You know what? Whatever gets you going.
Yeah.
So to be honest, you might get some improvement by increasing the amount of like chest work that you do, but like if your breasts are sagging because it's like saggy skin, that's not really going to make any difference. Fortunately, I've never experienced that because I don't have any boobs, so.
Same of that. Yeah, no, there's nothing you can do. I know like a couple of my friends who lost a massive amount of weight, and they ended up just having to get surgery, plastic surgery. Not that I'm telling anyone to go get a boob job or anything, but that's what, like, there's nothing you can do.
And it's
Yeah.
very misleading when people are like, oh yeah, just lift weights and you'll like have less excess skin. It's like you if you've lost a huge amount of weight, then you won't know. And I think to an extent, like your boobs sagging a bit because you're 60 years old and they've had 60 years of gravity is just such an like it's a normal natural thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing either. It when you really think about it and you like take a step back, you're like, oh, like society's made that a bad thing. Yeah, it's just really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. My friend's child said to her, like, when she had lost a lot of weight and her boobs had dropped, let's say, the child said, "Mummy, why are your boobs down at your knees?"
Oh, kids can be brutal without knowing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, currently in a calorie deficit, but in the evening I get a bit moody. What can I do to overcome this?
A bit moody, like, well, why are you getting moody? We have to establish, like, are you getting moody because you're hungry? Are you moody
Yeah, is
because
it
of,
moody or is it hangry?
yeah, because they're different. So first assess which it is, and if you're hungry or if you're hangry, like, how are you setting up your calorie deficit? How are you setting up your nutrition targets? Are you eating enough within in your calories, or are you trying to get away on low volume? If you're moody otherwise, assess what's making you moody.
Yeah. I'd also assess it's very easy for something to last, like, I don't know, a few days or a week. And because you're living it, it feels like a longer time than that. And it's hard to get perspective over it. I speak for myself about like PMS. I'm like, oh no, I'm just not happy in life. Like, I'm moody, I'm grumpy. Like, there's something's wrong. Maybe I should change something. And then I'm like, oh, it's 3 days before my period. Like, actually, nothing's wrong. It's just hormonal fluctuations. Or, yeah, so it might be something like that. Or you might be like, yeah, well, I'm really moody for the last couple of days. It's like, did you go out on Friday night and get no sleep and then did the same on Saturday? And now you're surprised because you're so tired on Monday that you're moody. Like, I would look at those things as well. And then I'd also look at the size of your deficit. Yeah. Because a sensible calorie deficit shouldn't really put you in a bad mood.
No,
Okay.
especially if you're, yeah, go on.
Do steps during my workout count towards my daily step goal, or is it separate?
I just think people overcomplicate stuff. Just yeah. You don't even need to think about it. Just yeah.
It honestly doesn't matter. I've seen someone who I actually quite rate do a whole like reel on this of like, this doesn't count towards my knee because I was doing it during exercise. It's like, who
Yes.
cares? And I think people forget that like the useful part of tracking your steps is to give you a vague measure of your energy expenditure. And exercise actually contributes for most people a quite a small amount to that. So I just count all my steps. Doesn't matter if I was walking around the gym or if I was walking around outside, like it makes absolutely no difference. So yeah, I wouldn't overthink that. And we count steps for runs and stuff as well. And again, like a good example of this is I hiked up Table Mountain this morning and I was like drift. It's actually like the hike we did was really hard because we didn't have much time. We just did like the vertical straight up.
You weren't allowed to get an Uber this time, no?
No, you still get over to like kind of the bottom, like it's a little bit further up. Anyway, yeah, so we did this and I think I did like 8,000 steps or something, but it was like a solid 2 hours of like walking vertically up a hill. Now, I burnt way more calories doing that than strolling around getting 8,000 steps yesterday morning. But obviously that doesn't show that, but it doesn't really matter. And if I was like, oh, I can't count those because of this, I can't count those. Like steps aren't they're not technically all equal. Like if you're walking up a hill, they're going to be harder steps than if you're strolling around. But when you even everything out, it really doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, like the whole concept of tracking your steps is just to bring your awareness around to how much you move. It's not actually to do with, oh, I did 50 steps here and 50. It's just like, this is how active you've been throughout the day. Your watch is telling you whether you've been very active or not very active, and then you can choose what you do depending on that. Oh, I haven't got many steps. I must move my body. However way you want. Do a dance. To listen to your heart.
When he's calling for
Yeah.
you. Okay, top three fat loss tips you wish people knew before getting started.
Ooh.
Oh, juicy.
Put on the spot now. Top three. The simplest things for me are to eat as much high volume foods as you can to stay full. Keep your protein intake as high as you can while still being able to enjoy your diet. And the third one is get good sleep, or else
Very
you're
good.
hungry.
Yeah. And eat slower.
Yeah.
Like, there are certain things you can do, like focus on your sleep, eat slower, and increase protein that have nothing to do with like tracking calories or anything that will result in better fat loss. I think mine would be standard, like consistency. Imperfect action, consistent. Like, I think imperfect action and consistency are basically Siamese twins because you can't really have one without the other. Like, you won't be consistent if you're trying to be perfect all the time. So, you need to embrace imperfect action. I am also going to say range targets because I think they're such a game changer for people. Again, links to imperfect action, all or nothing mentality. Instead of that, stay within this range, it's achievable. And then I would focus on behaviors over outcomes. That trips so many people up. So, like looking at scales all the time, the amount of people that give up on their diet, despite the fact they are making progress and they are losing fat because the scales jumped up at some point, it's just obscene. Like it is mad. That ruins more diets than anything else, which is crazy. Is that three?
That was three, I think, yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
well, you kind of, imperfect action and consistency were kind of like one.
They were one. Yeah, well, I mean, that'll do.
Yeah.
You've got more than three. Yeah. I want to maintain weight, lose fat, and build muscles. Muscles. Calories on a maintenance or deficit level. So if you want to maintain your weight and lose fat, that's going to be quite hard. I mean, I probably would stick around maintenance, but it's going to be a real subtle change that you're going to see. And you're probably, unless you're very new to resistance training, you're going to be looking at seeing results in like 6 months of consistency. If you've got a decent amount of fat to lose, I would put yourself in a deficit. Just a small one.
Like if you're staying at maintenance, you'd have to be really intentional about training really hard and like super consistent. You wouldn't be able to just go in and do whatever you fancy.
Yeah, you can't just rock up and decide on the day.
That you're just going to do like three sets of pull-ups or three sets of push-ups. Who
Well,
does that?
who that was targeted at, but I'll just move swiftly on. But I don't have a specific muscle building goal at the moment.
Who said it was targeted at you? You're, what was that word? What was that a word about assuming?
Oh yeah. Well, the shoe fits. I'll wear the shoes. Okay, 30 minutes free, better to work out or get steps in. Fat loss slash muscle building goal. Do a workout.
Answered. There you go. What if you were like, if you're, I would say, like, if your activity was like really low for the day, I'd be saying go for a walk. If you're sat at your desk all day long,
I still wouldn't.
would you not?
It's still it would you?
Yeah.
I think it depends, right? Because people are like, oh, you don't burn many calories during a workout, you'll burn more doing steps. Now, that's not true in isolation of like 30 minutes. Like if you're doing a resistance training workout and you're like really pushing yourself, you'll burn more calories doing that than just like wandering around the street for 30 minutes. It's the reason that steps have a bigger contribution is because you do them all the time, all day. Like that's the bigger contribution. I think if you've only got like 30 minutes, you'll be able to expend more energy in a workout. Plus, if muscle building is your goal, then you can do that. What I will agree with Maureen is if you're like, I've already done three workouts this week and I've not moved at all, I'd be like, yeah, go for a walk, get up and get out and go for a walk. And sometimes you have to remember that you're doing it for other reasons as well, like you've been sat at your desk all day and you've not even seen the sunlight and you've got 30 minutes that you could go outside and get some fresh air. I personally rather do that than go into a gym.
Yeah.
Okay, ready for the last question? Do
Hit me.
you know what that reminds me of? Hit me. What's that? Is that Beyonce?
No, I'm lost now.
There's a song that's like that, and then there's like drums at the start. I can't remember. Might be Kelly Rowland, you know. Oh, it's Work by Kelly Rowland. Work.
Can't think of that now. Oh, you gotta work, 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 work.
No, isn't that Britney?
Oh, maybe. Now I'm thinking of
Oh, that's
Rihanna.
what
Work, 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 work,
you.
work,
Yeah.
work, work.
Yeah, all Little Mix. What's
Lemon.
their one? Yeah, they're like. There's one about work that they do.
Gosh, we're such music enthusiasts.
Oh God. If someone would like to make a playlist based on this episode.
Yeah.
So it needs on it DHT Listen to Your Heart, Work by Kelly Rowland, Work by Rihanna, Work by Little Mix. And then
Hit
what?
me. What was the hit me
Oh,
one?
that was work. That's work.
Oh, you said something about Beyonce.
No, I got confused between Kelly Rowland and Beyonce.
Okay.
There was another song that came up. I
I
can't
can't
remember.
remember.
Okay. Do I have to weigh myself daily? The fluctuations really mess with my mind. I have two options for people, and now obviously anyone can do whatever they want. I'm not a dictator, but I would recommend that you either weigh yourself first thing in the morning, every single morning, and take the lowest from the week and then compare over time. And actually, weirdly, some people find that doing that reduces their, like you said here, that like messes with your mind. It actually improves that because you're like, it changes so much, you know, and you realize, hey, every day it changes so much. Even if I do exactly the same thing every day, my weight changes. Even if I know I've stuck to a deficit, my weight changes. So sometimes that takes the pressure off it, and you're like, okay, I can just accept fluctuations. And that happens with a lot of people. Or I would say, get some, like, focus on the behaviors that you need to do, set yourself range targets for them, and then get your head down for 30 days and don't look for results. Like, and actually, if you're thinking of doing that, listen to the episode that came out before this one, because I talk through that.
Yeah, I'm the same. I get people either every day or don't weigh at all. And I would kind of veer towards the don't weigh at all if it's definitely messing with your head. Because that can then, like that, have, like you said, have an impact on your behaviors. And if that is having a negative impact on the behaviors that you carry out, then remove the weighing.
Yeah, agree. Okay.
Right.
All right then.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, wait, we forgot to end the podcast with, if
That
you
was
are
your job.
interested in joining Commit to Six or signing up for one-to-one coaching, then head over to esgfitness.co.uk, fill in the application form, give us some information about you, and I will email you and we can have a chat and see if we're a good fit. Okay, now you can leave and have wonderful days. Goodbye.